Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. We'll read for our text verses 6, 7, and 8. It is particularly verse 7 upon my spirit, but I wish to speak to all of these verses. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, from verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Lord hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Acts chapter 1 verses 6 through to 8. This is the account when our Lord is to depart from this earth, having raised from the dead, as had been commanded him of his Father. I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now he is to ascend back up into heaven. And he had appointed them a place where they should meet. And here they are meeting, and this is just before he is parted from them and raised up into heaven. We read in verse 9, immediately after the words of our text, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And so, how important those words are that immediately preceded our Lord being taken, and to think that the next time that men shall see the Lord actually with their eyes, every eye shall see him, is when he shall come, as again is said at this time. In verse 11, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So an important time. Now, in the words of our text here, what has been upon my spirit leading to this word is the mention of seasons. We have in the time immediately after the flood, the promise given, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now in our text it says that those times of the seasons, which they are in the Father's hand, it is not for you to know. But as I read that, and some time ago, I thought, yes, but there are seasons that God has given us to know. And especially when we have a contrast of seasons and times, and God says, some of them you will know, some of them you will not know. And with a harvest, we have a reminder that right from that time of Noah, we expect we're going to get the seasons. We're going to get the summer and winter. We're going to get the autumn. We're going to get the spring. We're going to get those seasons. They will stay in their right order. They will stay in the actual times, and though how we may experience them, maybe a few weeks early, say winter is early this year, but according to God's promise, he has told us those seasons. Not only that we have them, but when and regularly. You might say, as clockwork, they come. Day and night, shall not cease, is what really holds the whole stability of the whole earth and mankind, that these things are predicted, told us, and we know from experience that they shall happen. And so, especially at harvest time, we think of those seasons. We think about the promise of what God has said, this now is for you to know. And it then makes us think and have a contrast. What are those things that are hidden from us, that we do not know? We know, of course, that the harvest time is a time that should remind us of the end of the world. Our Lord spoke of the parable of the wheat and of the tares, and he says very clearly in the interpretation of that, that the reaping time, the harvest time, is the end of the world. That is when there shall be the separation. While the earth remains, then it is let the tares grow with the wheat. Don't start trying to pull them up, lest you pull up that which is the true wheat with it. And it's a good message, really, for the churches and for those of us as ministers or pastors. And yes, you must deal with matters in the church that need to be dealt with, that are clear sin. But sometimes there's times you might think, well, this person is not bearing the evidences of the fruit. I really think that this person is a tear. We shall deal with them. But many other people may be in that congregation. Other congregations don't see the same in that. And you try to deal with that one, and suddenly many of the Lord's people offended and are stumbled on that. And there's many times that we leave those things with the Lord. In the practical issue of it, the Lord is dealing with a situation where God's people try to pluck up imitators of God's people and do damage to his people. In one sense, he says, leave it to me. Leave it to the harvest. Leave it to the end. And that should be very searching to us as well. Sometimes we can try and rely on a brother or someone else's verdict of how we are and how we stand. But it is the witness from heaven that matters. It's the witness from heaven. And so there's these thoughts regarding the harvest, the time of the end. This is why we read, of course, in Matthew 24, that which is spoken on two sides. One evidently foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, the other the end of the world. And very often in scriptures there's a twofold interpretation. We have the words that the apostle quotes from Isaiah, "It hath not entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him." And that spoken to those in Isaiah's day, they could not have even entered into the thoughts of the situation today in nearly every nation, kindred and tongue, that there should be churches and assemblies gathered together of the Gentiles, not the Jews, and that Christ is preached, the seed of the woman, the one that they look forward to as coming, is actually preached in this way to the Jews, that not even entered into what we should have. But then when the Lord has come, we could convey that from our point of view, is not even entered into our hearts what shall be when the Lord returns and the New Jerusalem and the paradise of God. As much as what the Jews looking forward couldn't picture this day, we cannot picture that day that is to come. We know it will come, but we do not know the day nor the hour. We know that there shall be a season, but the times and seasons we do not know. Now, in relation to these three verses I've read as a text, I want to base three headings on each, one heading for each one of these verses. The first is for verse 6, minds that were still looking for an earthly kingdom. We read in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Their minds were looking for an earthly kingdom. Secondly, in verse 7, times and seasons not for us to know. Now, the Lord answered them, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then thirdly, in verse 8, the difference made by the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To firstly, minds still looking for an earthly kingdom. After having read Matthew 24, you'd wonder, are these the same people that are asking this? Because they had asked him then, when they had spoken of these stones of the temple, and the Lord saying that all these shall be cast down, they asked him, what shall be the sign of these things? When shall these things be? And of the end of the world. So they were evidently, they knew of the end of the world. They knew of what the Lord has said about Jerusalem. But here they are still thinking of an earthly kingdom. And you know the Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, that beautiful chapter that speaks of the resurrection, that speaks of an immortal body and an immortality with no sin and sorrow and sighing. And he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. Our bodies are designed and made for this world. We breathe this air. We eat the food of this world. The harvest, that which we have on our plates, is for this world. And we know nothing different than that. And it is a natural thing for man to cleave to the things of time and the things of this world. The natural man receiveth not the things that are of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And in one sense, this is a real testing verse and a testing point. Minds, where are our minds set? In Psalm 107 we read, he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Their minds were set on a haven. The Lord says, this is not your rest, it is polluted. And one of those great signs in Hebrews 11, where it looks at the faith of those right through the Old Testament, the different evidences of faith and how it was evidenced, they're all very different. And then in the middle of that we have from verse, I think it's 13 to 16, you have a few verses that give a general definition of faith. And it says, of those that saw the promises afar off, they embraced those promises and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And it says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And it is a vital test, really, an evidence of the work of God in our heart brought really to a fruition. These were the Lord's people, and later on they were able to understand. We'll look at that in a moment. But those that are still earthbound, and I know all of the Lord's people have those times, they get very earthbound and very tied to things, little things of earth. And sometimes the Lord uses things to loose us from that. I remember reading an account years ago of a lady. She had a beautiful tea set, full, complete set. I think it's one of her granddaughters was there, and one of the sets, piece of the set got broken. And her immediate thought was, oh, here is this set. It's no longer a set. It's part of it is broken. And then she said things. They're only things. And in her mind, it just put into perspective what they were. And we draw back from being tested in this. My son, only in this last week, he was intending to bring his vine to be with us, but instead it got stolen. He was working in the church at Emmanuel at Salisbury, and he chained up the bike outside, and when he came out, there it was gone. Several hundred pound vine. They looked at the footage, and he showed it to me. I said, how did you feel when you saw this? They saw this chap walking first with all his features and everything, and he'd obviously just sussing it out. And he went away and he came back, same build, same look, same man, but a great big bag with bolt cutters and face all covered. He comes underneath and you see him like this, and next minute they're in the full video, he's riding off. I said, how do you feel riding off with your bike like that? He said, well, Dad, he said, I'm amazed, really, how calm I've been about it. He said, I could really accept that loss like that. But, you know, we cleave to earth things. And sometimes it takes things to loosen us, to wean us off them. And these dear disciples, they were thinking, here we are under the Roman rule. Is it not time that the kingdom is going to go back to the Jews? Is it not now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What a different testimony to the dying thief. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. How different from what the Lord had said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. We've read of all of those things that are coming on the earth, and we do not know what things shall come, but we are to remember that which is to come, and our thoughts, our affections, our minds are to be set on things above. How vital it is that this is work in us. You know, the apostle says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And when he should die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. How oft we think of a future habitation. Balance that. And perhaps with some of you young people, I try to impress with my grandchildren, seek the Lord early. Seek the Lord early. You know, your minds can be so easy on your studies and what you're going to do at school and what you're going to do at university. And all of those plans and everything is on earth. But how many times do you read in the newspaper someone, a young person, taken away suddenly, and those who are left said, oh, they are so promising. They were planning to go to this university and do this and do that. Their minds were all on that. But what a mercy if the minds are on something else. You know, a few years ago, Tilden Chapel in the countryside there in Kent, I'm a trustee there, and I was talking to Philip Bass. Some of you know him. in the graveyard there, and he pointed out a little gravestone, and the lad was 16 when he was killed. So you know, he said, we were mates. He said, we went together, and we all got motorbikes, and he got a motorbike, and he said he went out on it, and he said it was his bike. He wasn't looking, he went straight across this intersection, and he was killed outright. But he said, you know, that lad's death, when they went through his possessions, they got some writing he'd done for school. And I got a copy of it at home. And it showed where his mind was, where his thoughts were. He hadn't made a profession, but obviously he was exercised and thinking of eternal things, not just on earth. And there was an exercise he was asked to do for the school, and his response showed where his mind was. You know, Phil Bassey said, you know, he said his death, though, he said it's mentioned in 7 of the testimonies in Betherston Church book. And I turned to Phil Bassey and I said, and is one of those yours? He said, yes, yes. So the death of one lad was used by God in the conversion of another 7, or bring them to faith. But we need to be prepared. We need to be loosened from time. We come a moment to the seasons, but this first point, where their minds were, and it challenges us, where are our minds? Where are our hearts? The Lord says, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now often the apostle, he speaks of our minds and what to think on and what to set our affections on. But they had an expectation. And thankfully in this they asked the Lord. And the Lord answered them, you might say, in an indirect way. But their very question, it betrayed this, where their minds were. Quite often, those things that we say, or our questions, or things that we do, they give away what our true state and condition is. And it will be a mercy if we know where ours are. You know, we're in the Lord's house. But are we like Martha? Martha was right where the Lord was. The Lord was speaking. And she was, as it were, providing for the Lord. But she was depriving herself of the words of life. She chose, rather than to be sitting and hearing the words of the Lord, to be just busied about the serving, and felt justified in that. May we be very careful about depriving ourselves of the words of life and the words of the Lord. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There shall be a famine in the last days, not of bread and of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And in many ways I feel today there are many churches that don't really have the word of God as a prominent part in their worship. But then there's many that do hear it but don't hear it. Or not like the clean beasts that go over and chew it. Or like the Bereans that take it home and daily beat it out. You know, those that are acting like that, daily beating it out, chewing the card, going over the word, feeding upon the word of God, their minds can't all be on this world, can they? They are often thinking to that future habitation. Minds still looking for an earthly kingdom. Where is your mind and where is mine? But secondly, the times and seasons not for us to know. This is the Lord's answer in our second point. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Lord hath put in his power. We may have seasons that are told us, and even a time, but it's done in a general way. Really, the season that we are in now, and that which the apostle in Hebrews really emphasizes, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because he's saying, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of grace. And as following from this, in the Acts, they went forth, they were preaching the word. We know it's for a time and season for everyone in this chapel. From the time that we are born to the time that we die is the day of grace. If we are to be converted, it will be in that time. We don't know when, we don't know what age, we don't know even if we will be converted. But the gospel is to be preached and to set forth in every nation, kindred and tongue, and that we know that now is the day of grace. So that is actually told us. We are not left in any doubt as to where the cutting off point is at death, and we are not left in any doubt that now is the time of the preaching of the gospel and the sending forth of the word of the Lord. That time and that season in a general way is known. We've mentioned about the seasons in set forth in Genesis. Those are known very specifically, as it were, what the season is and the time. And so you could draw together under two heads that which is of providence and that which is of grace. The disciples here are obviously thinking in a providential way, a kingdom's way, and what the Lord is doing amongst the nations. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when you hear the things in the nations and you hear what's happening, you see what things in our land and you see the superpowers, you see Britain and America, as it were, getting weaker and China getting stronger. And we always have the idea that everything just shall continue, the world structure as it is. But even those in our lifetime, if we were to look at a map of Europe or a map of what Russia used to be, and you see how nations and boundaries have changed and things have happened in that way. You look from the biblical, where are those nations of Assyria? Where is great Babylon? Where are those great kingdoms? Those things that have been taken down. Daniel's visions so clearly showed those kingdoms being removed, and we know that these things shall happen, but we don't know when, and we don't know exactly what, and we're warned of the Lord that there shall be these great tribulations in the earth, and it should point us as the Lord's people to look above this earth and also not to be dismayed at those things that will come in. The passage we read, our Lord speaks, and no doubt there was many when the First World War came or the Second World War, thought, is this going to be the end of the world? Is this be the end of wars? And we might think of the third worlds. But when we think of the Lord's words, though he has said to us, it is not for us to know, but the Father hath put in his own power. It is in God's power. God is in control. Though he doesn't tell us, he does know. And in every aspect of our lives, in all the providence unfolds the book and makes his counsel shine in hymn 4, and how the hymn writer speaks of in that hymn of not desiring to pry into the things of God. Here he exalts neglected worms to scepters and a crown. And there the following page he turns and treads the monarch down. Not Gabriel asks the reason why, nor God the reason gives, nor dares the favourite angel pry between the folded leaves. And then it's applied in a personal way. My God, I would not long to see my fate with curious eyes. What gloomy lines are it for me, or what bright scenes may rise? In thy fair book of life and grace, I may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. And it is in that way the Lord has revealed those things that we need to know, but those things that are hidden from us, he says, though they are hidden from you, they are in my power. How often when things are shown to us, then we try and put our own hand to it. The Lord does overrule it. Can't help thinking of what had been said to Rebecca. Jacob knew the promise should be his. He didn't have to steal it. He didn't have to lie. But he did. Abraham knew the promise was to his seed. He wasn't getting a child. So he heeded the advice of Sarah and Ishmael, and trouble was the product of it. And we have the cases where Hazael, the one that was to become the king of Syria, he was sent to ask whether the king would recover of his sickness, and how Elisha set his face. Yes, he might recover, but God has told me that he shall surely die, and of the evil that Hazael would do. So Hazael goes and he says to the king that Elisha said, thou most certainly shall recover. But then next day he murders him, suffocates him, and he takes the kingdom, and all that is said comes to pass. And you think, here are these things where it has been shown what shall happen, and actually man has tried to put his angle in it and to do it. It's affected what man has done. And as I said, the Lord overrules that and makes it work for good. But in many things with our lives, if it was shown us, then we would interfere with it, we'd meddle with it. And where it is hidden, then the Lord works out his purposes without us interfering with it. I think as Job says, that which I see not, teach thou me. But in the way of our providences, we see to walk day by day according to what has been revealed, what has been shown us, and leave the issue with the Lord. What a reminder if we, in these last years, if the Lord will, we will do this or that, and committing it unto the Lord. Those times and seasons then in our lives, the times when we may, your children, get a job, or when you may meet a future husband or wife, get married, the times you move a house or move, in our case, move countries. When we married over here and went to Australia, I had the promise from the Lord, that, and so did my dear one, that we would be brought back here. And I knew that I would not only be brought back, but brought back to a pastorate. And those things, they came to pass. But we didn't know whether it would be 2 years, 6 years, 30 years over in Australia at all. It turned out 6 years and very clearly brought back. But though we had that waiting on the Lord, we didn't know the time at all. Now, the children of Israel, of course, when they went to Babylon, they were told the time, 70 years, and they were told they would be brought back as well, but they were told to build houses, to have children to grow and increase and not decrease. So though the Lord gave them those times, he did give them very specific information in the meantime. Paul, he addresses this in Thessalonians as well. The Thessalonians thought the Lord would come back any time. So they stopped working, they were busybodies, they just didn't do anything. And so the apostle had to write to them and exhort them that they were to work. And so with us as well, though our minds may be set on things above and seek the things of God, yet we still need to do our studies, you still need a job, you still need to look at a godly partner and make sure you're a godly person. Seek that first yourself. And in that way, we are to live here. We're not just to wait for the Lord's coming. It's occupy till I come. Then there's those times in a spiritual way. We've sung in the middle hymn of the grace of God, the free, unmerited favour of God, the grace of God, and how the Lord gives grace in conversion, the new birth, and quickening. Now, hymn 76 speaks of it, a time not to propose, but called by grace. That time that is known and appointed of God. And it's a great comfort to us to know that the Lord has an appointed time for his people. With Samuel, it was said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And for those of you here that do not yet know the Lord, it could be said, you do not know the Lord. But when you put it, do not yet know the Lord, there's an expectation you soon will. And there's the exhortation to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, and not to just have a fatalistic spirit saying, if I will be saved, I'm saved. It's in the Lord's hand. He knows the time. He knows the seasons. I don't need to seek. I don't need to worry. That is a completely wrong way. What the Lord has set before us is to seek him and is to call upon him while he is near us in the day of grace. But those times in our experiences, we do not know those times. Intermingled with his experience, Joseph was sold by his brothers. The times that he had serving his master, then the times in the prison, those times were all in God's hand. As far as he was concerned, that petition he had with the butler forgot him. And so he just languished there in the prison. Did that mean then that everything was ended? God hadn't forgotten him. God had got that set, appointed time that the butler would remember. Pharaoh's time, Pharaoh's dream, and Joseph brought straight out. And so it is a real encouragement for those that are waiting upon the Lord. I've heard so many that have been praying and waiting and seeking the Lord, and they say, but the Lord never answers my prayers. He doesn't appear for me. He doesn't help me. And they tend to then feel that they're going to give up. Well, the devil will encourage you to give up. But may we remember one of those hymns, I think 377, still pray. For God will all explain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Our Lord said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In all the exhortations of seeking, the Lord has not said to his people, you're in control. You are going to dictate when and where and how. Again, another one of our hymns, when and where and how to his wisdom leaving. And it is a thing that God's people must learn, the sovereignty of God, resting in his will. Even the Hebrew children, when they were standing against Nebuchadnezzar, they said they would not bow down to that idol. The Lord was able to deliver them out of his hand. and he would deliver them out of his hand. They knew God was able to deliver them from the fiery burning furnace, but if it was his will that their lives were taken away, where our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Fear not them that kill the body, and after that there's nothing more they can do, but fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast both body and soul into hell." And the Hebrew children would have had that much in their minds. And so they entered into that persecution and trial, really knowing that this season and the timing was in God's hand, whether he would deliver them or whether he would not, whether it was a time that they were to be taken to glory or still remain on the earth. And it is walking out, arresting in the times of the Lord. And I hope to express this point perhaps more clearly, but as an encouragement to those that are waiting and seeking on the Lord, don't be discouraged when the Lord delays. You know, Elijah on Mount Carmel prayed once and the fire came from heaven. He had to pray seven times before the rain came. But it was go again seven times. And may we be helped to be consistent in that. And have to confess, "Lord, I know not what time. Thou hast not given us to know. But we know those times are with thee." Never too late, never before his time, and never too late. Times and seasons that are not for us to know, really in one sense are many, many things. We may know the things, but not the time. And as we look through the history of the scriptures, we see this wrought out again and again. What a beautiful word in John 10 for the people of God. When the Lord puts forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep, they know his voice and they follow him. We can't miss if that's the case. If the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want in this. I want to think then of the last point and the difference made by the Holy Ghost. We have in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We cannot escape the profound difference between the time before the giving of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. Remember, the Holy Spirit is eternal, cannot divide the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is by how the worlds were formed, the Spirit of the Lord moving on the face of the waters. The Word of God is inspired by the Spirit. The Spirit didn't just begin at Pentecost, but given in the great way that he was then, with great power. The apostle was told and commissioned to go and preach the gospel to every creature. But without that power, their preaching was nothing. And I hope you always remember that. And of course, with the context of the harvest, there may be a sowing. Man has power to do that. And power to look after his crops. He can't send the rain. And he can't send the warmth to swell the grain. And he is utterly dependent on the Lord. And so it is with his servants. "Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And that is still now. We're still in the day of grace. We're still waiting. We still need the power of God. And so the difference here. There is Peter denying his Lord those three times. But when the Spirit is come, he stands up boldly preaching and charging the death of our Lord on those that had crucified him. We see it recorded, the boldness of Peter and John, and what made the difference, and the things that they were able to do by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. And our Lord speaks of the new birth as being the work of the Spirit, the Spirit's work, quickening work. And so what the Lord sets before us here is a difference made by His power. In verse 7, we have the seasons which the Father had put in His own power. And then it is, but ye shall receive power. Power from God. We read in Peter's epistles that the people of God, they're kept by the power of God unto salvation. Now I've left out two words there. And that is by faith. Power of God through faith. And the Lord gives by His Spirit faith to His people. And so with the first point, our minds above, we cannot see heaven, we cannot see that future habitation. That which we said in Hebrews was in the list of those that walk by faith. And it made them look away from time, help them to deal with the disappointments and sorrows of time, and make heaven a real bright reality. And that power of God is what we need continually. May we be often in prayer, often seeking it, very mindful of it, mindful of our dependence of it, and the difference that that makes. The difference to be a receiver of the power of God. The Apostle Paul could clearly say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the context here, ye shall be witnesses of me. In all of these places and throughout the world, there's no greater witness of a poor sinner being able to stand up and say, you see me, you see me who once, says Paul, was a blasphemer, who persecuted the people of God, and you see me now preaching that word I once destroyed, lifting up Christ. I am that witness, a living witness. That's why the Lord has sent His servants. That's why He's borne the testimony of those like Peter and Paul and some of us here who can say, we are witnesses of the power of God. And Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and he says, the word came unto you, not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he knew it came because they became followers of the Lord and of us, the apostles. There was an effect. He didn't just leave them as it found them. So may this word be a help to us this afternoon. And may we have our minds not still looking at earthly things. And may we not be discouraged in our seeking, our waiting upon the Lord because of delays, because we know those times are in the Lord's hands. And the giving of power is in His hand. And that we are to seek for that help from above. And that difference that grace makes, the power of God makes. You know, Barnabas, when he went to Antioch, he heard the Lord had blessed the word there. When he saw the grace of God, he was glad. He saw the effect of power. Well, may we be witnesses like that. May the Lord bless the word.